Say glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say glory. Be to God. What a great day. Has anyone noticed the rain? It's raining in California. It's raining. It's pouring. The church stopped its snoring. God shook you out of bed, lifted up your head and said, hey, y'all, it's morning. What a great day this is. This is a day of power. This is the day of power. This is a day of change. God has shown me that this is a season of change. Now, I could talk about season, what that means, but I'm going to keep it really simple. This is a season of change. Things are changing. And what that change is dependent on where your faith is and in whom your faith is in. Who do you believe? I love when Jesus would ask the question, and he said, who do you say that I am? Or what do you believe? Or what does your faith say? What do you say? What do you say? What do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? Where are we today? What's going on? There is such a downpour of the rain of God's glory in the earth. God's glory in the earth. We're going to be talking about a few things very prophetic today. We're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about repentance and talk about the glory of God. Talk about new things. God says, I want to do a new thing. So in the heart of God, he wants to do a new thing. And he says, but before I do it, I'm going to tell you about it. And the reason for that is, so many times when God does something that's incredible, if you don't know who it's from, you can have a tendency to not even recognize it, fight against it, or reject it. Is that all right? Am I doing okay? All right. So I make sure it's something new is coming down from the kingdom of God and of his Christ. This is a season unlike any other. God is doing a new thing. And he's doing it through Christ. This is a day of insight and revelation that really needs very little interpretation. All you have to do is pay attention and believe what God has said. He is bringing to pass so you can see it and see it fast. Let the seas and the winds rage that we may stand in the power of Christ in us and our faith in who he is, that God is revealed in authority and dominion. His kingdom and his power is made known. By revelation, the mysteries and the treasures of God are open before your eyes. If you will take a hold of them and say, these have been given to me as a gift from God, your lives will be transformed in ways you never even dreamed possible. And you will bear witness yourselves that God is doing exceeding abundant and beyond all we know to ask or even think, according to his power, which is at work within us. To God be the glory and the praise. Do you believe that? Lift your voice and shout, yeah! Give the Lord a shout. Shout to your God. This is a day of worship and praise. This is the hour of us worshiping God and giving him praise and thanks, looking beyond yourself, coming before the Lord and making yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your true worship. We are worshipers of one thing or another. Let us be worshipers of the Lord. Let's worship God with our whole heart, with our whole mind. Give the Lord your strength. Give the Lord the glory to his name. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Give God a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. Bless his holy name. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, bless His holy name. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Give God a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, bless His holy name. You've probably been talking a lot throughout the week about this and that and one thing and another. But will you take this moment, this time, and make it into something divine? Will you take the authority and the power God has given you through the gift of His love and the way He has made for you to make this moment count in your lives, to allow it to be bigger than the menial things that you think are necessary, and you look for the hidden manna of God, the bread of life, the real drink of water that keeps you from thirsting after the things you should have never been thirsting after. So you can come into an account of what God has given you and be reckoned with what is right and just, and drop the insults that you bear when you think about what you want God to do and what you need and what you'd like to see. And you'll say, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And then God, beyond your imagination, will do His will, which will satisfy you far beyond the deepest recesses of your mind. God's imagination needs no interpretation, just a revelation of what He's saying in and through you today. So give the Lord a shout. Come on. You don't have to explain it. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. Don't be weak-kneed and weak-minded. Look beyond you and see God. Look beyond your past. Look beyond your present. And see the future of God's kingdom being revealed in you. This is an hour unlike any other. There was a day when God was manifest, and the Word says, and the world saw and beheld the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. Prophets had prophesied for many years, but there was a generation that said, today we will see the Lord. Peter said, I know who You are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. That took something beyond Peter's natural nature, which he had demonstrated before and after. He had an opportunity to look at something through the eyes God had given him, of the eyes of faith, and see God so present, so powerful in His fullness. And God said, Peter, upon seeing Me in the way that you see Me in the here and now, this is the order upon which I will build My ecclesia. I will build those that I have called by My name, and I will demonstrate that I am God with them. God is with us. Emmanuel. Give the Lord a shout in the house today. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Give God a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, bless His holy name. He's God ever present with us in power and health and strength and healing and joy and sanctification and consecration and newness of life. In an awakening of an understanding that surpasses your ability to even stop and think, to reason it in or reason it out. God's revelation is transforming. Paul said, I beseech you, I urge you by the mercies of God to present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is how you worship Him. It is your presentation. God, here I am. God, be glorified in me. God is so far beyond the imagination, our ability to computate or figure it out or imagine or bring our ideas in sequence with what we think we need in order to know who He is. But God is revealed by our surrender to Him. God, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. God, do through through me who you've created me to be, through the one that came to save me. Jesus, be glorified in me to the glory of God. Let the glory of the Father be made known in me. Be revealed. Come on, make yourself a house of prayer. This isn't a time of religion. This isn't a denomination. This is a revelation. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I see a brand new day. I see minds changing. I see the nations saying there is a God who dwells in the earth. There is the Lord of heaven who has come among us. God is present with us in power to bring change to the nation that pleases God. And in it the favor of the Lord reigns and rules in the nations of men. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Your hearts will be renewed. Your bodies will be made alive again. That the deadness of the mind be put away, and the newness of life reveal itself through your own thoughts that are not yours. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. If you believe that to be true, I want you to lift up your voice and shout, yes and amen. Give the Lord a shout in the house. You can take your seats this morning. I want you to take it like you mean it. Own the spot that you're sitting in today. Through Christ, as the word says, we have access. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can obtain the mercy that God has given to us. In order for there to be a moment that is eventful enough and powerful enough to bring the change into your life, just the simple change that you'd like to see, let alone the change that God wants to bring into you, you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. Remember, the word says that John the Baptist, sent of God, John's life was so important on the earth prior to Christ being revealed that the angel Gabriel came to the earth and spoke to Elizabeth, spoke to Mary and declared, something incredible is about to take place. And the word says that before Jesus was made known and his ministry, that John was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Preparation is important. It's really important to come with a prepared heart. There are things that you could be doing that you don't. You may not do it because you're jealous. You may not do it because you're afraid. You may not do it because you think you don't have the wherewithal to do whatever it is you know in your heart you should do, you can do, you could do. And we want God to do exceeding abundant and beyond all we know to ask or think when we haven't even begun to do what we're able to do. And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't prepared to say that. That isn't a part of what I thought I was talking about. But it's what I hear right here, right now. There's so much to do. But we become so shielded and so guarded towards our own personality and how we want to be perceived by other people around us that we really cloak ourselves. There's literally a veil, the word says, still it remains over the eyes of the people. When God, his kingdom and his will is supposed to be pronounced, it's supposed to be revealed, it's supposed to take front and center stage. And it's so veiled sometimes because we have to carry this facade, this attitude that doesn't allow us to walk in the freedom and the love and the presence and the power of who Christ in us is. You know, we have to make sure that if someone treats us a certain way, that we're prepared to respond in a way that we don't lose our persona, that we, you know, we stay in charge and stay in the lead. But Christ, the Word of the living God, came to earth and surrendered himself to the will of God. And the will of God was that he became humbled and that he paid for your mistakes. He paid for our sins. Didn't do anything to make him want to do that. Weren't qualified. It wasn't that God was looking at the world going, oh man, it's really, really bad. The word says God did what he did because he so loved. The love of God. Love should always lead. Let love lead. Lead by love. You know, we've experienced, my daughter and I were talking, Lene and I were talking about this just the other day, that as you mature in leading with love, you drop that facade, you drop that persona, you drop that attitude. I don't have to be received. I don't have to be liked. I don't have to have someone think so highly about me. And here's the problem with that attitude of needing to protect yourself is you're not leading by love. And God can't do exceeding abundant and above until you empty out what you already have. Remember, the word says the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a man that found a pearl of great price. He went to a field, he found the pearl of great price, and he went and sold everything he had because that field, which represents the kingdom of God, meant more than anything else that he had. Do you have any idea what an impact you would make if you dropped your shield and allowed faith to be your shield? If you drop the attitude, that pompous, pious, ignorant attitude that makes you think that you're in charge, you want God to protect you, but you won't drop your weapon. You won't drop your shield. Now, I'm telling you, this is something God is saying to me to say to you today because it was nowhere in my mind, nor is it in my notes. But I'm telling you prophetically, this is a really, really important time to pour yourself out before God. If you'll empty yourself out, you can't fill up a pitcher that's already full. You have to dump it out. It's time for new skins. If you want new wine, it's time for new wine skins. We were at a restaurant the other day. We had a men's meeting, had a great time with the guys. We had a table full of people and just had a wonderful time. We ate, we fellowshiped, we talked and just shared. And there was our server kept coming to the table and he kept talking about whiskey and beer and all this stuff. And he's about the third time I'm at the end of the table and he comes and he says something else. And I said, I've got this wine. I said, you've got to take, I'm telling you, it's the best wine you'll ever have. And he says, well, I'm not much into wine, but he said, I'll try anything. And I said, well, this, I'm telling you, you try this and you'll never want anything else. He said, well, what is it? I says, it's the blood of the lamb. He said, oh man, I should have seen that coming. He says, I shared with him for just a few minutes, shared with him a little bit more after everyone had left. And we all the guys, we just prayed for him. You need to be ready to see the kingdom of heaven come down, but you need to be ready for new wine. You know, some people's wine, I wouldn't touch it. It's so bad, it's just not worth drinking. New wine requires new wineskin. The word says that God will pour out new wine, pour out his spirit. And the reason it refers and references new wine, one of the reasons, I mean, there's a variety, the grape that it is and everything grapes represent, but it is an attitude, it is a spirit that brings change into you, brings change. Jesus preached, the word says in Matthew, and he said, repent. First he said, the time is fulfilled. That's a big deal. That word, the time is fulfilled. He hadn't yet went to the cross. That's very, very important, very interesting. But he said, the time is fulfilled. What does that mean? Kingdom of God's right here. Can you see me? Can you see me? And it is really important that we have an attitude that is responsive to the heart of God. Am I carrying the heart of the Lord? Again, my daughter and I were talking about this just a couple of days ago. We interfaced with some people that we interfaced with, oh, I'm going to say four or five years ago. These people just had, it seemed like just a this. I don't know, just attitude just wasn't pleasant. It was unpleasant, and we went away going, I don't think this is really a place for us. By the transformation that we experienced through God, we went in the same place, same people, had just such an incredible, wonderful, great time. My daughter said, I see things and I see people differently than I used to. And she said, how could we ever have had any negative impression from them? I said, because it was in us. It's in us. New wineskin. It should be very difficult for you to interpret someone in a negative way. Let that sink in for a minute. What if Jesus took that attitude towards us? And Gary, that guy, you know, I don't know. I don't like him very much. I don't know. His attitude just kind of troubles me. Wouldn't that have been horrible? Wouldn't that have been, Chris, man, that guy gets on my nerves. I just don't care. Jesus looked beyond who we are, what we are, and he said, I love you with the love of the Father. What was he saying? I see God's heart towards you. I see God's will in you. I see God's design towards you. I see why God put breath in your lungs. Chris, this is an opportunity unlike anything else. In a time, in a position, a disposition, what you want and what drives you is your offering to put on the altar and say, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that I have come to know the Lord in a way that I have never known him before, that I have increased in the attitude of the Spirit of God, and nothing else matters. When discontentment comes, it's an opportunity to bring it to the altar. Not that it has value or worth, but our connection to it does. And it is our surrender to God. This is how I feel. And I'm coming to you, not with the thing, but with a heart saying, none of that matters. Where I go from here, what I do from here, what is developed in me from here, doesn't matter. What develops in me through you is the greater that I'm looking for. You do that, and that's the kingdom first, and see what God will do to expand beyond your imagination. You can't imagine big enough to be blessed in the way God would bless you. You can't see too little enough in order to see how big God is thinking about you. So if you forget the size and the dimension of a thing and the time with no comparison, you don't compare it to anything where you've been, where you are, or where you want to be, but you say all that matters is that I stand before you, Lord, with a contrite heart saying, I want to see the increase in me, and that's all that matters. God says, if you seek the kingdom first, everything else that I have for you. There's no way. Your biggest want will get in the way of God's provision for you because you can't apply your faith enough to something you want for it to even compare with what God would do in you and through you. And then everything will become subservient for you by the power of God that works through you. So bring that attitude to the altar and say, God, I want increase in you, and that's all that matters to me. Word of the Lord. We are called to receive the Holy Spirit. How many want the Holy Spirit? You should all want it because you can't do right without it. And this is the reason for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Steve, you're bothering me. I need you to sit right there. You and Jen, I need you to sit right there. Thank you. That's all right. I forgive you. Well, he has a place, and I have already told him that's his place, so, you know, I know he's not rebellious on purpose, but let me say it like this. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit for what purpose? To help you out, right? No. He said, you need the Holy Spirit so you make a good representation of me. You need the Holy Spirit so you can represent me correctly. I'm going to get, at some point, I think, to what I prepared for today, but it hasn't happened yet. You shouldn't have the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't want to have the Holy Spirit. You should be overpowered by the Holy Spirit is what the word literally means. It's dunamis power. It's beyond your imagination of what power really is about. And he said the reason for the power isn't to help you out, to help you be a better person. The reason for the power is that you represent what you were created to be. You represent me, my love, my nature. Remember, we were created by God, for God, in the likeness of God, to represent God. That's what you are. That's what your atomic structure is. You are created by God, for God, and to represent him, not a little bit, not represent him because you say a certain thing some of the times, not represent him because you pray for people from time to time, but represent him because you just can't keep your mouth shut. You just can't. You can't hold back what is overflowing on the inside of you. You ever taken I don't drink soda, but soda bar, something effervescent, something carbonated. Thank you. Something carbonated. You shake it up. When you open it up, it just comes out all over. That should be you with the Spirit, and it should represent who Christ is and not what you need. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, and this is the reason I'm saying this, I see God. I heard God before I stepped up here. And when I stepped up here, said, told me things are changing, and I'm changing the minds for good. I'm filling today. I'm filling the earth in a way, and God has filled it. But when God says I'm filling it, he's saying something. I'm going to attempt to get into here in just a minute. We're thinking about him filling, because that's how we see things. That's why Jesus analogized certain things and spoke in parables, so we could wrap our mind around it, because it's important that you get what's coming before it gets here, so you make room for it. I don't know how to say it any simpler. So you dump it out, whatever that is, on the inside of you. So in order to be filled with the new thing God is doing, you're going to have to get rid of the old stuff. The word says we take off the new man. You take him off. God said, you take off the old and I'll put on the new. But you take it off, because God's not going to clothe you. Being born again, it doesn't mean, thank God I get a second chance. No, it's way beyond that. Being born again means your old life has been evaporated. It's just gone. It's been completely destroyed. And the Spirit of God comes on you to represent him, not the better version of you. Because that still stinks. It's still not good enough. But the version of who you've been created to be. God created you in his image and his likeness. And when we, this isn't religion. This is 101 creation. This is the way it is. The word says only a fool can look up and say there is no God. Listen, there is creation. There has to be a creator. There are laws. There has to be a lawgiver. There had to be an always being, or there could have never been a beginning. That's just pretty simple to me. But God, in his infinite power and his sovereign, ever-present power, is beyond our ability to figure him out, or you would be God, not him. So the fact that you can't imagine or figure him out in itself is a witness to me that he is God, even beyond looking at the sun and the stars and the moon. And then the power, what empowers you, is the relationship you have with him through your faith. And that begins with repentance, okay? And repentance, absolutely. Godly sorrow, word says, works repentance. It brings you to repentance. And repentance leads you to salvation. So, of course, you know, there certainly is a component to repentance that's, I'm sorry for my sins, or if you're not sorry, how can you be forgiven? Because you keep doing the same thing over and over. You'll say one thing and you do something else. But there is a power that lies within God's creation, the human race, if you will. Then when we acknowledge him for who he is, and we say, fill me with your spirit, fill me with your essence, with your attitude, so I carry out your nature, because that's what I am made to be. That's being born again. It's not a prayer. I don't always pray a prayer of salvation with people, because that's not, the word didn't really say to do that. We've done that through the years. The word literally says, if you believe him to be who he is, Lord, Savior, and raised from the dead, you're born again. You may never pray a specific prayer. We pray that prayer in reference and recognition to who he is. And if you believe unto him in the way we pray, then you're born again. But the prayer doesn't do it. It's the surrenderness of your heart that says you're God. I can promise you, people got saved back in the day that never said, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. They never said that. They just said, I believe. Peter said, you're the Son of God. He said, this is enough to build my church. Okay, so we have to get away. You'd be better to represent the attitude of Christ than pray that prayer 100,000 times to where people want to feel that presence of who you are. And who are you? I'm a representation for Christ. I love, I care, I do what God has given me the power to do, and I do it willingly. How much are you holding on to that you could have given away, and yet you want God to give you more? He said, give what you have, and it will be given. Do you know that word doesn't mean give a little? Do you know what it literally means? It means give what you have. Give it all away, and it shall be given. And you can say, well, I gave all of this away. No, give it all away. The attitude, that's just the beginning. The things you possess in your hands, that's just the beginning. The things that are in your back pocket, in your trunk, in your bank account, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. That's God saying, let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you will pour out what you have in my name, saying, God, to you be glory. I don't need to understand it. I just do it. You say, I'll do it. God said it. It's going to happen. I'm excited about it because God said it. And if God said it and I'm excited about it, I'm representing his spirit. I'm representing the attitude of God. That means I'm in fellowship with him. My mind's going to begin to change, and it does every single time. Paul said, man, I urge you guys by the mercy of God. Imagine Paul standing here saying, guys, please, I beg you, by all that I have and know, present yourself as a sacrifice. Dump it out. Get rid of all that you are. Make it an offering to the Lord. Not that he wants your junk and your sins and your past and your mess ups, but just surrender yourself and say, God, here I am. Use me. Be glorified in me and through me. That's the prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. God would never have told you to look for something that wasn't present. He would never have done that. And he certainly wouldn't have told you to make that the first thing you do. Because if you couldn't find it, you couldn't get to the rest of the stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Bear witness to who I am and all these things. See, those simple things you could do right here, right now, that you have the power to do. You have the power to be a blessing to someone. Maybe someone that's been a blessing to you, but maybe you've done 5% of the 100% that you should have done. You need to think about it because it's connected to where you're going and how you pan out in the future that is in the present. It is dependent. Spirit of God is talking to you right now. Don't make me point my finger at you and say, thus says the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Let your spirit bear witness and discern that God is speaking. It's important that we come before the Lord and bring ourselves, bring an offering. Come before, the word says, come before me, bring an offering, worship me. You should bring your offering to the house of the Lord. If you're being fed somewhere, you should bring your tithe and offering. You should be a worshiper of God. You should pour yourself out. Here's the issue. God says, I want to do exceeding abundantly and above all you know to ask or think, but he can't get us to give up what we have, and yet we want him to give us more. You ever had in your garage, you just have so much junk? I was there at one time. We had old furniture we had piled in there, and we wanted to do some new stuff and do renovating until I cleared it out and started putting stuff out on my street and giving it away. Things didn't change. When I started giving away things that I could have used the money for to sell but didn't and just gave it away, God, see, it's how, what is your faith saying? Your faith is represented in the day-to-day things that you do, not just making an exchange with heaven. This isn't the stock market. This isn't a medium of exchange. This is about us receiving who he is. And see, it isn't about God taking your stuff. He doesn't need it. He wants to give you his, but when you're so full of stuff, you don't want to buy anything new because you say, where am I going to what? Put it. Don't allow heaven to say that about you. Where am I going to put it? They could have done and could be doing so much more. But they're doing so little of what they could do, and they're asking me. They're double-minded. Give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You hold on to it because. The word doesn't say you decide. The word says you give. You pour out. And one of the first things you need to do is drop your shield. You need to drop your old garment. You need to drop your pride. and your fears and your concerns and bring yourself before the altar of God and say, Father, I just want to love you and love your people. Make me a witness for who you are. Let them sense my love, and whatever you've given me to do, I want to do, God. You've given me the power to make a difference. How much of a difference could you have made by being a blessing to those around you that you never did, because they would have been more of a blessing? But we're saying, God, do more than I could ask or think. He's saying, well, why don't you do what you can think about right now? Why don't you do what you have your power, the power in your hands to do? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it, and do it with all your might, and do it as unto the Lord. God's doing a new thing, and it's going to require, as John came, that we prepare the way. And that's what the word is today, preparing a way for something new that God wants to do in you. But you're going to have to get rid of the old, because until you do, you don't need the new. Think about that for a second. Until you get rid of the old, you don't need the new. This is a good time for an amen in the house. There is more within you to be given away or to be gotten rid of, and you have the power to do it. And time is your greatest enemy, because you're going to do it later. I'm getting to it. If you want God to honor your word, when you hear yourself say, I should do this, do it. If a man or a woman believes those things which they say will come to pass, they will have whatsoever they say. So what could you say today? What did you say yesterday that you still haven't done? That you could have, but you said tomorrow. You don't need tomorrow to be delivered. You know, repentance isn't God shaming you for the wrong you've done. It's his provision to free you from your shame. That's what repentance is. Repentance isn't about making you feel bad for the stuff that you shouldn't have done that you did, or the stuff you didn't do that you should have. Repentance isn't about reminding you of your past, but it's about introducing to you your future. That's what repentance is. Repentance is God's provision saying, hey, I'll set you free. Just look this way. When Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he wasn't saying, think about all the sin you've committed. As a matter of fact, that's Old Testament. And if you're living Old Testament, you're denying New Covenant. See, Old Testament offering, the people would come bringing an offering for their sins. So what the Old Testament law actually did was remind them of their sin. And the scriptures say that the weakness in the old law was that it consciously reminded them continually of the sin they had committed. So their offering was one of sorrow. They brought an offering that reminded them of their sin. Through Christ, the new covenant, we bring an offering of thanksgiving because God has forgotten our sin. Old Testament, I'm sorry. I'm remembering my sin. Here's my offering. New Testament, my offering is praise and thanksgiving because, Father, you have forgotten my sins. The word says he remembers them no more. So why do you? Repent. What do you mean? Look this way. Don't look the way in your past. That's not repentance. Look at the incredible future that I have for you. That's repentance. To change your mind in such a way that you acknowledge God as the only way. I acknowledge you as the only way. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and be made new. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There is something new taking place right here in the spirit, right here, right now. And you're looking for evidence, but the evidence you're looking for, you'll never find. Jesus came, Son of God, Savior, Yeshua, Messiah, came. Prophesied for years, came. Presented himself, was a living sacrifice. People still didn't see. Wanted to kill him, wanted to get rid of him. And yet he came for the very purpose to give his life, not for his life to be taken. Son of God, right there. People look right at him. Didn't see him. And so many times, even believers want God to show them himself. Show them that he is here. Show them that he is here. You know, everything in life, the periodic table, consists of a triad. And everything comprised that is matter is comprised of atoms. Protons, positive, neutrons, neutral, electrons, negative charge. So everything that you see, everything that has mass, substance to it, is made up of atoms. How many have seen an atom? You can't, because they're invisible. They're so infinitesimally small that you cannot see them with the naked eye. They are invisible. And yet they make up everything. Everything is comprised of them. And the arrangement of specific things is based on the arrangement of how many protons or electrons, how atoms are arranged determines. Okay? It's triad. So when God spoke and created, he created the universe of the atomic universe, if you will, the atoms, the periodic table. He created all the elements and the molecules, everything that's made up of this triad of reality. And yet you can't see it. You can't see an atom. I beg to differ. I'm looking at them right now. See, the issue is trying to see something that is not meant to be looked at. It's meant to be connected to. It's pretty common to consider that we're seeing light today, right? But you're not. You can't see light. Light is invisible. You can't see it. The human eye cannot see light. 1 John 1:5. And this is the message that we have heard from him from the beginning, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And another scripture says, no one has ever seen God except the Son. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You can't see light. When you look at these lights, you're not looking at light. You can't see light. You can only see the objects from which it reflects its reality. In order to experience an atom, something has to be comprised of atoms in order for you to see them. The nature of God and his kingdom is in many ways exactly that. Christ in you is the revelation of God's glory. How Christ lives on the inside of you. How you commit yourself to be a representative of who he is. That's your faith. If your faith is towards who he is, then everything else comes together. That's why the word says, seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It is the basileia, the representation of God's rule, his authority, his sovereign power, his omnipresence. God is so present with us. But if the way isn't prepared in your heart and in your mind to receive that, and everything is put off in time, then in the present, we never get to experience that reality. If you're waiting for light to come, you will never see it. But if you represent something that light reflects off of, people can see the light in you. This is the light that dwells in us. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he said, I'm leaving and you will be the light of the world. You will be the light. And see, we're looking for something that the only way you can experience it is when you become connected to it. Being a reflection of the nature of God, the real nature. And that begins by emptying yourself out. That's why Paul was so urgent in his letter when he said, I urge you by the mercies of God. He didn't say, I urge you to do better. I urge you to go and feed more of the hungry and clothe more. He said, I urge you by the mercies of God to make yourself a presentation. Present yourself. What was he saying? Empty yourself out before the Father and let him fill you. I beseech you, O King James, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. You can't do that based on you. You do it based on a representation of who he is, holy, acceptable unto the Father. Do you see? It doesn't take any time to get saved. Salvation isn't about time. It isn't about your effort. It's about your receptiveness to who he is. It's not about how much you have, how much good you have, or how much bad you've had. It's about dumping that out and saying none of that matters. Repentance isn't God's way of shaming you. It's his way. It's his way of removing your shame. That's what repentance is. Because no one measures up in themselves, and that's why God made us and saying there's none holy, none righteous, no, not one. And not that we rival in that, but that we say, God, but you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, you are the light of the world. You can't see an atom. It takes about anywhere from one interesting scientific fact, 1 to 100 quintillion atoms to make one grain of sand. Isn't that crazy? Based on from 1 to 100 quintillion atoms to make one grain of sand. How could you see that? God is so beyond that, and we want to look at an atom. Why? It would do you no good. Atoms mean nothing unless they come together to make something. Light isn't an atom. Light is an energy. It's a wave. It's God. And you can't even see it. You don't see the light of the sun. You see the reflection off of the things that exist. See, it's our presentation of the light that allows people to walk in the light, not look at it, be it. That's the new day we're living in today. That was the message of Jesus. See, the word, I think it's Greek, is kinos. It's the word for new. It doesn't mean remastered. It doesn't mean reshaped. It doesn't mean give it another shot. It means completely different. That Greek word means completely different. Not like just fixing something up that was broken. Jesus said you have to put on the newness of life. When you're born again, the old is past and the new has come. You must be born again. You must become new again. That begins in the mind. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Romans 12 says, by the renewing of your mind. How do you do it? By what we're talking about right now. Everything is, that's why I refer to myself as an Emmanuelist. Everything has to be focused to the nature of the true light and true reality. See, the reality that we live are made from atomic particles that are far too small to ever see, until they come together to make something. God can't be seen until the body comes together to make something. That's why the word says that Christ is seen in us, and the fullness of who he is, the word says, is represented in you, the church. And he literally says the fullness of all things. That's Christ being represented in you. That's the value of your faith and your repentance towards God. The ability to know that something new is coming. We get excited about new, not because we understand it, because typically it's not understood. Let me tell you what new means to most of us. New to most of us means something I don't have. Something not as worn or used as my old stuff. That's not what it means with God. God's new is I want to do something through you that will blow your mind. I want to do something through you that you will go, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered into my mind the things that God has prepared for me. But he's revealing it, the word says, to you so it can be revealed through you. See, the reason to ask God to do something isn't so you can brag about what he's given you, but so you can be a witness that God did it in you. That's someone that's at peace in their mind. God, if you would just give me this, I promise you, if God just gives you this, it will not make you happy. But what you end up doing is burdening yourself with your wants and your needs, just like piling junk in your garage until you can't get your car in there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You want your car in the garage? You want a new car to put in your garage? Clean it out. Clean out your garage. Get rid of your stuff. Get rid of what you have. Just get rid of it. Pour it out from who you are. What do you have today that you could give away, that you could give out, that you could give to, that you could give from, that you could give through to make room for the new? Word of the Lord, I'm telling you today, God is doing a new thing. And I've preached on this many, many times. God has shown me it in a light today that I hadn't communicated before. This is why and where it comes from. It comes from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning, but it comes into a vessel that is prepared. Jesus came into an earth that was prepared by John. The word says this man, John, will be great in the earth because he has come to prepare the way of his coming. You see how God looks at preparation for something that is coming. You better get into the giving and getting rid of and giving away and helping and pouring out, because the new is on its way. And if you're full when it arrives, what are you going to do with it? You're going to squander it. You won't see it. It'll have no place to reside. And if it resides in you by the power of God, it will preside in you in authority and power. We talk a big talk, but we act very weak so many times. Let's be still and do. The word says even a fool looks wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Just do and demonstrate profound. How much of a blessing can you be? Can you imagine people rejoicing over things that you could do that you just didn't do? Just because. Take because and make it a part of your past and put it away. And say, he is. And as he is, so am I in this world. I see a new day dawning. When a new day dawns, nothing really changes other than the light that is always present reflects off of something that exists, that's in position to be shined on by the light. And then we say, I see the light. No, you are experiencing the light. Let's experience the light. This is that season. God is doing a new thing. God is how? He's getting rid of the old stuff. He's getting rid of your fear and your doubt and your uncertainty. Making him God and God alone. A church that doesn't talk about the devil anymore. Once you're born again, we talk about Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. We talk about the glory of God. We pronounce the kingdom of God and then we demonstrate it. See, that's what's missing. All the talk about it is like repenting and not really wanting to change. Wanting to change is pouring yourself out. Time is saying, not today. And the only day you'll ever experience is today. When does it happen? When today becomes tomorrow for you. Let today be your tomorrow. Today, I'm free. See, freedom is a change of mind. It's repentance. Doesn't mean you sit there, I'm so bad. God doesn't want to hear how bad you are. He paid a great price so you would know how good he is. And that's the light that shines in you. The invisible God is made known through the body. That's why he created us. That's why he gave his life, so he could make himself known. So he could live and dwell and abide in us in such profound, unmistakable power. But you have to know it first, so I'm telling you. The people had to know first that Jesus was coming. So God prophesied it. I will to do a new thing, says God, but I'll not do it until I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. And once they say it, you know it. Now you're responsible for it. It's coming. And not that it's like on this wagon train rolling into town. But now God gives you information. He gives you revelation. We interpret that as it is coming. No, it is here, but it's coming through you. And as it comes through you, then it arrives. That's Christ in you. As he comes through you, he's arrived. Paul said, I make no claims to myself or about myself, but he said, I die daily that Christ is made known in me. And you don't do that by talking about your sins. That's old covenant. Stop doing that. Stop saying, I sin a little bit every day. Well, you better stop sinning. If you're going to sin a little, you might as well sin a lot. It doesn't really make a lot of difference. You're headed in the wrong direction. He died for your sins so you could be free of sin, not so you could talk about your sin, but so you could say, whom the Son has made free is free indeed, and that is me. Repentance isn't about rehashing your past sins. It's about God's provision to show you your future. And your future is in Christ. So what's going on? What's God doing? He's doing a new thing. And you didn't know it. You thought you were just being challenged. See, God wanted to do a new thing in Peter because he told Peter, Peter, upon the revelation of who I am, I will build my church. That was in the heart of God because God the Father revealed it to Peter. And then one day, you know, Peter's walking, or Jesus is walking on the water, and he's doing it deliberately. The disciples are in a boat. They see him walking. They're afraid. They think it's a ghost, a spirit. What kind? They don't know. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. God's saying to you, don't be afraid. It is I. The storm wasn't the wind and the water being tossed to and fro on its own. God is Lord over the seas. He's Lord over the wind. Read the Bible. Jesus was the storm. What was he saying? We focus on the wrong guy. This is not Peter. The story isn't about Peter at all. It's about Jesus. What Jesus was saying was, don't be afraid of the storm. I am the storm. So then Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. We say, Lord, if it's you, bid us come. Just tell me to do it. He's already told you to do it. Just do it. So Peter walks on the water. The oldest, most accurate version says that Peter walked over the water and came to Jesus. There he is, man. It's done, right? Lord, if I only know you're here, he's here. Light is in the room. It needs something to reflect off. You can see atoms. They just need to be arranged. Come into the arrangement. The Holy Spirit brings arrangement. He brings the kingdom of God together with his creation. Why did he say, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, if that wasn't the plan? Now, why did he tell them to pray that then if they wouldn't see it for thousands of years? It's now. It was then. It is now. Just Christ, who you are. Not making any other assumptions, just God with us as he is. Peter standing right beside Jesus. And we have reason to believe, based on the scripture, that the storm didn't weaken when he walked to Jesus. There's evidence that it increased and it got worse. Because Peter wasn't afraid when he was walking to Jesus. Why was he more afraid once he arrived there? The word says that he began to look at the storm because the storm had worsened. We think we get there that what we want to go away is going to go away. But what if it increases? Because it isn't about the man, it's about the man. What would you walk on? You can walk on this water, on this little storm, but Peter, let me show you how big a storm and how powerful a waves you can walk on to be a great and powerful witness for me. How can you be powerful before God if you need everything to calm down before you do it? So the storm intensified, and Peter began to look at the storm instead of look at the one he walked to. Look at the one he said, tell me it is you. How many times have we done that? Lord, if it's you. Lord, if you're with me. What did he say? Lo, I'm with you always. Act like I'm with you. Live like I'm with you. Talk like I'm with you. Believe that I am with you. Give like I am with you. Love like I am with you. Praise like I am with you. Don't try to get me in. Let's do this together. I and you and you and me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. I see a mighty storm coming. I see great strength rising up in the nations of the earth. I see a cloud over a city, a large cloud. Fear not. For God is with you. And when you see this cloud, times will begin to change and nations will begin to call out upon God. And you will see a time come to pass that you've waited for a long time. I hear revival throughout the nations. People coming together in unity saying, God is greatly with us. And what was meant for destruction brought about life and healing and joy and peace. What will you do today, says the Lord? Will you wait for the cloud, or will you stand in the presence of my light? Stand in the presence of the light as he is the light and he is in the light. And darkness has nothing to say about it at all. This is your day. And this is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord praise. Would you stand with me today? Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. If you wanted to be prophesied to today, you came to the right place, the right time, and you just experience it. God is speaking to his body. Would you know a prophetic word if you heard it? Can you be the woman with the issue of blood or Bartimaeus that says, that's mine here now. That belongs to me. I see a synergy. There's such a nucleus. Beyond the knowledge of fusion, beyond the knowledge of destruction or power, it's the revelation of Christ in the body, in the church. That is the true power. From the genesis of time, from the beginning of time, it determined what would happen between heaven and the earth. When Adam walked and Eve walked in unity by the word of God, the earth was balanced, everything was perfect, but it was chaotic. It was incredible. Things were being brought into order. Atoms and molecules were taking place. Things were happening. God was creating. And he was doing it through the obedience of his people towards the word of God. That's why he said, take dominion over the earth. What were they doing out there with bulldozers? And no, the word of God was the power, was the authority to arrange everything in order to the will of God. How are you going to know what the will of God is if all you want is for Jesus to be Lord over the empire that seems to rule over you? They missed it altogether. They just wanted Jesus to come and set up a kingdom so they could be free from the royal, from the Roman rule. But Jesus said, it's so far beyond that. I'm going to save a bunch of these guys. Some of these people you want to be free from, I'm going to change. I'm going to change their minds. I'm going to bring them to repentance. We need to have a much bigger vision. Again, it's not about a rescue. It's about a reveal. Christ revealed in us. And then, God, you think you're going to start or stop anything that God wills to do? But what God wants to do is demonstrate that experience through us. And then watch the glory of God be revealed. Watch what God will do. Heaven and earth, just as the word declares, will come into the unity of the power of the will of the Father from the beginning, the genesis of creation. This is that season. This is that time. And the Lord himself will appear in his glory. And we will walk in the vastness of the light of the glory of the Lord, because he has made himself known in his body and he has been revealed throughout the earth, and the glory of God illuminates the earth. And we are in the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. We are literally in the kingdom of heaven. And there is no need for the sun, for the Lamb will be the light. Look at what you're reading. Pay attention. This is that season. This is that hour. You know, we can study day and night, and we should. I study a lot. I love to study. But only when the Holy Spirit speaks can you be confident that what you're hearing is accurate and true. You don't need to be freed. You're free if you've received him for who he is. Now what you have to do, you have to make a determination. You have to repent. I couldn't count the times I've repented. I have no clue, because I don't see repentance as a reminder of something I've done wrong. I see it as a reminder of something beyond what I've done. Change of mind. Being renewed in the spirit of the mind. It's such a wonderful thing to repent. It's not a thing of sadness, it's a thing of joy. I pray for repentance over the nations of the earth, change of mind. Father, we stop acting like Adam and Eve did in the garden, as though something were missing. God, you're present with us. As you will to be revealed today, you're being revealed today. And your glory will never end. your reveal will never stop in every and any way, and we have not even touched the surface of it yet. Jesus said, all these things you've seen me do, you'll do, but greater things than these will you do, because I go to the Father and I'm going to pray Him. He's going to send you the Holy Spirit and He's going to dwell in you. How great is God? Don't throw anything out except what you have in you, and receive everything God is bringing to you. If you don't do it today, tomorrow will never come. This is the day. I make up my mind to change my mind. I pray God empower you with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And today you can do what you didn't have the power to do yesterday or even a little while ago, because you didn't know that yesterday and tomorrow are new today. Totally different. This is the day God has made. We lack nothing. You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of you who has called us to glory and virtue. And Father, for it we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. I encourage you to listen to this at least 1 to 10 more times. Hear it. Act upon it. Make it your understanding. God has spoken to us today by His Spirit and through His Word. Thank Him for it. Know He has. Be prepared for what's coming.